Revenue Rhino. I'm Brad Hammond, and this is the Lifelong Customer Podcast. We're interviewing successful sales and marketing leaders and discussing ways in which they're building lifelong relationships with their customers. Welcome to the Lifelong Customer Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Hammond, and today I have David from New England Design and Construction. David, it's really nice to have you on.
Thank you, Brad. Great to be on.
Absolutely. I'm really excited for today's discussion. So maybe to kick us off, if you could just tell me a bit about yourself, who you are and your company and all that stuff, that'd be awesome.
Certainly. I founded this company in 2005 in Boston, Massachusetts, where we still are. And we act as both the architect and the builder for residential projects, typically higher end renovation projects. And we've grown steadily over the years. Initially, when I started the company, it was really, I was doing everything myself, the design, the work. And I was really actually still trying to fill a void I felt I had in really understanding how buildings went together. I've progressively grown to where we are now. We just ended off our most successful year ever in terms of revenue. And we did about $8.5 million in revenue and have 20 team members. Yes.
Nice. I love it. So you're a bit of an innovator in this space too. I think about like your unique approach to design and build. And I'd love just the overview of that.
Sure. Yeah. Design build is a moniker where you go where the architect does build or the designer builds. And it is pretty common now, becoming much more and more common. It's much simpler. So it makes a lot of sense. But I have dug into this subject thoroughly, including the history of the architect and builder, which most folks are not aware. I'd say most folks that have a degree in architecture don't know this, the majority, which is if you go back just 150 years, the architect was the builder. And then you go from that point back millennia to the start of like civilization on this planet, the architect always built. It's really been a more recent occurrence where the architect and builder were separated. The architect, the word architect goes back, the derivation is Greek for master builder. And if you go back in an English dictionary in the mid-1800s and you look up architect and you look up builder, they're actually synonyms. They use the other word to define itself. And yeah, and it's wild. This is not common knowledge at all. It's like totally, it's always been separated. That's how it's been made to appear, but that is not the truth. So design build is really just getting back to the way that it had been for thousands of years. It's a bit of it's a more natural approach because the client, it's just simpler for the client. There's accountability in a single entity and it works really well.
Absolutely. I love it. Well, let's talk about the journey of building this company. You founded it, you started it, you built it. What does that journey look like? What are maybe some of the challenges you've faced and some of the wins you've had, all that?
Yeah, starting out, it was really like I didn't have a job. It wasn't a real well thought out, here's how I'm going to scale this. Here's my 5-10 year business plan. It was really like, I don't have a job. My buddy, I started it with a friend who kind of went a different direction a couple years into it and initially did all the work, was very hands-on. I came from the design, from the architecture background. And one thing, when I started to practice as an architect, I felt incredibly deficient to tell folks what to build and how to build it because I had never built anything in my life. And so I then worked as a carpenter with the purpose to fill that void. And when I got fired as a carpenter, that's when I started my company. So I was still actually looking to fill that void a bit. And so when I started, you know, I was designing and then in the field wearing lots of hats, I did have a pretty decent business acumen. And I did have, looking back, I can have a little more perspective on it, but service was important to me. Like it was important to me to give the client an experience that was different than our industry is known for, which is really not that hard to impress people with. But so I had those things going for me, and it was really just a natural kind of gradient progression of replacing myself, hats that I was wearing, which was the start, was pretty much everything, replacing myself with others better than me in those specific roles so that I could climb up to higher in the organization, where today I'm really not involved with the day-to-day execution of our project. It's really high level management. And I also am still heavily involved in the marketing and sales for the business.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that. How did, since you started the company, grow revenue, grow sales, build a team out, support that? Like, what did that journey look like?
Yeah, very gradient. It wasn't like 1 year, we just had this exponential, huge growth. One thing, until the pandemic, one statistic we had rolling, which I was very proud of, is we had grown every year in our existence. We were down a little bit in 2021, but it was gradual. And I spent a fair amount of time documenting successful actions so that when I did bring somebody on, it wasn't like they would just glean the information by being around me, but I could actually have them have some material to study. Yeah.
I like that, documenting successful actions. And what are some examples of some of the stuff that you documented that you'd pass along?
One thing was our planning process and just the sequence of that, things that were important to me. Like, I have a one-page policy on things that I look for or guidance that help guide me in the design process. It's a little bit theoretical, right? And you can get very much like, there can be factory line that you do this and this, but when you have design, it's this ethereal, esoteric, well, what is the right train of thought? That can be a challenge, how you impart that creative process. And it's not all objective, subjectiveness to that. But how do you put that down and just giving stable, overriding, guiding principles that can carry folks through, hopefully, to a successful result?
Absolutely. I love that. Let's talk about today. I think a lot of companies have experienced maybe some staffing challenges, and then equally have to match your sales growth and all that to available staff. How have you balanced that? Has that been a challenge? Maybe what's gone into that?
It's a great question. And that's something I think we have an opportunity to really improve upon. We just, our last year, over 60% growth, closer to 70%. So with that added business, you actually need more policy. You actually need more stability of, hey, here's how we do things. Because when you take on, there's more people. And if everybody starts to just follow the other person, there's going to be more inconsistencies. And it's an opportunity that I see for us where I have these things written down, but there's not so much of a systematic process of, okay, we have a new person. Let's create videos. Let's get these things completely digital, so that we can bring somebody on. It's not dependent on someone else's time to impart these things on them or have them follow around people. That definitely should be part of it. But I am looking for systematizing the training aspect of our staff. I think for us, that's something I see as a huge opportunity that I'm really this year looking to invest in. Not only whatever, but this is like a time investment.
Absolutely. And it sounds like systemization, are you going to get like a learning management system, make videos? What's that going to look like?
Yeah, it is. We actually have it. And I'm completely spaceheading on the name of it. But it's one of these, I forget the acronym that's common to their use. But looking to, yeah, create videos, have a check sheet basically, or a check list of a new staff member. There's a new designer versus a new project manager. They would be curtailed for those individuals. There would be interactiveness to it. And one, it could be tracked very easily. And it would be linked to, if there are reading of policies and videos, these things are all in a database that is synced to it so that there's consistency there.
Absolutely. Let's start sales and marketing as we head into this year. Any pivots you're going to make? Any changes, additions, strategic things you're thinking?
Coming up at your most successful year, we need to continue to bring the thunder here. So that's a challenge, but we're excited about it. And looking to, we do track and look at ROI. What were the things that brought in clients? What are things we can expand upon? We try not to be so rigid that we can't pivot because that we've isolated that was part of the success that has brought us here is being able to just see an opportunity or a new way to do things. Word of mouth is by far our most successful form of advertising, marketing, what have you, and keeping our standards high. Part of that training, it's an indirect way to get to that. But if you look at just the experience of the client and their satisfaction, that's how you create that word of mouth. And you do that through a consistency in the experience and the product. It definitely relates to that. For us, the luxury realtor is an awesome referral source. So that is an area that we are looking to create more relationships in and grow as a part of our marketing and sales.
Absolutely. I love it. And just generally, anything you're excited for as we head into this year, like any new opportunities you're going after? And it's related to sales and marketing question, but just generally speaking, anything you're excited about?
Well, I'm about to publish my first book. So that's kind of top of mind when you ask that question. The book is titled The Classical Architecture's African Roots, which is a little bit like, it's not succinctly related to what I do and we deliver. It's the subject of architecture, but it's the first of many books for me. I actually wrote a larger book, which I've now separated into three. This is the first that I'm putting forward. It's really more of a picture book because it lets you see visually what the title of the book states. Yeah, I am very excited about that because it validates, to bring it back to the whole design build and how we got separated, it was done for the wrong reasons. And this initial book lets folks see inevitably that, there's some, the status quo of what we've been taught is not, I can see it's visually not correct. So it opens the door, I think, to folks considering and other ways to execute a project than the status quo than has they've been told is the right way. And I'm not sure where it's going to go. I think it's going to help position me as a leader, a thought leader of the industry. But I'm excited about getting this piece of truth out and then the subsequent books I have lined up from there.
Absolutely. Great stuff. And when's it coming out?
Eminently. Like in the next few weeks, like less than a month. I am self-publishing it. So it's my first rodeo in that regard. And there's things that have come up. It should have been out by now, but we're in the final steps here.
Exciting stuff. Well, awesome. But yeah, definitely. If you're listening, you gotta check out the book, all that. What's the name again for people listening?
If folks were to connect with me on social media, that would be the most effective way because I'll be posting when the book is released. If you just Google the book name now, you're not going to really get anything. But if you connect with me on LinkededIn, I'm on all TikTok, everything, Twitter, Instagram, all those. And it's David Supple. My middle name is Muniz, M-U-N-I-Z. So a lot of them are David Muniz Supple.
Awesome. David, it's been amazing to have you on. Thanks so much for sharing all your wisdom and insights here. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, Brad. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.